Hi, this is Tony Robbins. Welcome to day number 6 of The Body You Deserve. So how you doing? Gosh, I've been dumping so much stuff on you for 5 days here. We've been sharing with you all these organizing principles. What does it take to really succeed? How do you raise your standards? What are the 6 fundamentals to changing any behavior? We've talked about beliefs, and we talked about how to get leverage on yourself. We've shared with you all the fundamental core principles of nutrition. We shared with you what to do with your physical body so that you don't have to exercise with pain, but you can do it with pleasure and with joy. The key now is to start to get yourself to actually do these things and not just listen passively, and I hope you're doing that. For example, this morning, did you do your 10 deep breaths? If not, stop this tape and do them right now. Come on, don't put it off. Get it done right away. And even if you have, it wouldn't be bad to take a deep breath while you're listening to me right now and hold that breath in there. You can hold that breath while you're listening. And then exhale out slowly. Remember that ratio of inhale 1, hold 4, exhale 2. Hey, this morning, what'd you have for breakfast? I hope it was fruit. Have you been having water content food? Have you started to notice a little about your food combining? Did you do any exercise this morning or yesterday where you did it in an aerobic fashion? If you did, you should have been able to keep up a conversation while you're working out. And afterwards, you shouldn't even feel tired. You should just feel really good. We've given you a lot. How do we get you now to absolutely follow through and do it? Well, part of it is keeping you clear about what your goal is. Keeping that compelling vision of what the body you deserve really looks like, what it feels like, what it'll be like. Because without a vision, you're not going to follow through. So it's critical that each day you start out thinking about what it is you're creating and why you're doing it. Why are you doing this thing? You're not just doing it to lose 10 lousy pounds. Again, you don't want to lose 10 pounds. You want to get rid of excess fat. But more importantly, you want to create the body you deserve, a body that's got the energy and the joy and the passion and the intensity and the beauty and the symmetry and the strength and the endurance and the flexibility that you deserve to have in your life in virtually every area. That's what this program's about. So we got to remind ourselves, what is it that we really want? We spent a lot of time on the first day starting to take a look at that, but don't take that for granted. If you really want to be successful, you got to keep your goals in front of you. Maybe that description of what your goal is, what you're really doing this for, what your real purpose is, needs to stay in front of you. Maybe on a poster or a piece of paper. Maybe it's something in your wallet. Maybe you need to keep telling the people around you about what you're doing, what your goals are, so you constantly have that reinforcement, that leverage that we talked about. So I'm assuming you know what you want, and I'm assuming that not only knowing what you want, you do have some leverage on yourself. You've got it where change now is a must. And I'm assuming also you've listened to the previous tapes, so you know how you're going to do it. You know what to do with your nutrition. You know what to do with your body. So what would keep somebody still from making all the progress or starting to make progress and then falling back? I know you've got to have experienced that before. I've experienced it. I don't know anybody who hasn't. Or you make progress for a couple of weeks, right, and you feel really great, but then you drift back. Why does that happen? The answer is simple. Old patterns tend to control and direct us. Unless we do something to interrupt our patterns, which is the third step of those 6 steps, if you recall, unless we break those patterns, unless we interrupt them. So for the next 4 days, our primary focus is going to be to show you how to interrupt these patterns, how to, number one, become aware of them, to notice what happens when you find yourself overeating. What are the triggers? What are the cues? What's going on inside of you? How do you create that sense of urgency that says, I gotta eat right now or I'm gonna die, or whatever it is you say into yourself or feel inside? How do you create those urges? Because you're the one who creates them. Yes, you may have some external triggers that fire off, but you're the one who's in control, especially if you get aware of them. So we're gonna make sure we begin to discover what those are. And then what we're gonna do is begin, once we discover that, to see how they lead to our behavior and what their consequences are. But more importantly, we wanna scramble those patterns. So today we're going to teach you the organizing principles, if you will, of how to change the behavior, how to break up those old patterns. And then each tape after this, for the next 4 or 5, will be much shorter than all the ones we've done in the beginning. Because what I'm going to do is I'm going to share with you one simple principle that'll help you to begin to break these patterns up. Dr. Nate Booth will guide you through a couple of exercises, and then you go to the next day. And each day we'll build on the day before and making major quality changes in our behavior until we have some brand new habits, the habits that will give you the body you deserve. That's where we're going. So the key question is, why do these patterns, these habits of ours, have so much power? Well, you know what? These habits are your best friend. And you might say, well, wait, Tony, no, they're not. These habits of eating cause me to overeat. I'm talking about the ability to create a habit, the ability to be able to not have to think about something and have you have a sense of urgency, like you've got to do something day after day, that has power. All you have to do is redirect that power so that it now is organized towards exercise, so it's now organized towards eating foods that you deserve, that support you, that cleanse your system and nourish your system. That has got to become the focus. In other words, the very process that has created the habit that does not support you can be utilized to cause you to succeed automatically. But in order to do this, we've got to understand how our brain creates a behavior in the first place. Let's take a look at it. The only way your brain knows how to interpret anything is because it's developed a communication system. And that system is made up of something called neurons. Now, hang in here with me. I want to tell you a little bit how your brain works. Don't freak out and go, oh my gosh, he's going to use these big words and I'm not going to understand it. Yes, you will. It's easy. Everything you and I do, everything that we're guided to do, whether it's eating or whether it's exercising or the lack thereof, comes out of one of two desires. You know what they are. Our need to avoid pain or desire to gain pleasure. But the big question is, why does one person go have a Coke to get pleasure or get out of pain, and somebody else goes and has a piece of fruit? The difference is not just intellectual choice. The difference has to do with habits, and those habits are wired in our nervous system. Why? Because every single time in your life, when you experience a significant amount of pain or a significant amount of pleasure, your brain wants to be able to duplicate the experience of pleasure and avoid the experience of pain in the future, so it creates what we call a neuroconnection. That is literally a connection in your brain. It is physical. It is not intellectual. These neurons are nerve cells, transfer information to one another. They teach your brain what consequences come out of something. And as a result, when you're trying to make a decision what to do, these neurons literally create fibers that connect. Like, let's say you go and do something, and it's really pleasurable, and your brain goes, ah, doing X equals pleasure. And then you do it again, doing X equals pleasure. Every time you do it, you're creating another neuro strand, if you would. I'm using this metaphorically, but it is also physical. So that pretty soon, if you do something over and over and over again, you don't just have these thin strands of connection. You now have a trunk line, as we talked about before, where it's like you think of it and you immediately respond. Just like if I were to say to you something like plop, plop, fizz, fizz, oh, what a what? Relief it is. Besides that, how do you spell relief anyway? R-O-L-A-I-D-S. These are neural connections, most of the people in our society, unfortunately. Some people's neural connection is I feel stressed, so I got to reach for food. Other people's neural connection is I feel stressed, so I need to breathe. What a concept. The second example will probably give you more choice in your life. Now, here's the challenge. The challenge is you're trying to think your way out of a bunch of negative behaviors you've got. You're trying to think your way out of something that's physical. In other words, you're wired in this way. And by the way, the more emotion you get out of your old behavior, the more pleasure you thought you had, the stronger that trunk line is. So now intellectually one day you go, I don't like this approach. I think I'll create a new one. Well, you get this trunk line that's pulling on you to come one direction, and you don't have any momentum in the opposite direction. How do we change our behavior then? We must slash that trunk line. We must interrupt the pattern of impulses that make us want to move in a certain direction. We've got to interrupt the pattern of urges that we've developed within ourselves. To give you an idea how powerful this is, there's a recent study done at the University of California at San Francisco by Michael Merzenich. And what he did was he took monkeys and took one particular finger on their hand, and he caused the monkey to continually contract that finger back and forth, over and over and over again. He eventually taught the monkey to do it by rewarding the monkey with food when it only used that particular finger. Well, sure enough, when the monkey began to link pleasure to moving its finger this way over and over again, he then did a scan of their brains, and he could show the exact portion of their brain that they use when they bend the finger. After doing this for 3 months, the neurons in that area of the brain had grown more than 600%. In other words, by indulging in any pattern, just moving your finger the same way over and over again and linking some pleasure to it, we literally expand the neurological connection in our brain. Well, what has this got to do with you? Everything. You've been doing these old patterns for so long, you got a section of your brain that's wired for this. No wonder every time you try things, it never lasts. Because you got a portion of your brain that does it again and again and again, and it's wired, and you got like a cable going on there. Now, let me tell you the good news. When he kept them from using this finger, tied it up, obviously, where they couldn't bend it, in less than 2 months, the area that had grown 600% had shrunk down to less than it was the first time he'd measured it. So what are we finding here? It's the old core basic understanding that if you don't use it, you lose it. If you don't use these urges that currently cause you to overeat long enough, what happens? The pathway gets really terrible. It's kind of like it kind of gets overgrown. The cement breaks apart. The metal gets aside. Grass starts growing. Pretty soon you'll have a forest in there instead of a pathway. And where you're going to go instead is we're going to show you in the next few days how to create new pathways. So now when you're stressed, you reach for a piece of watermelon instead of your steak, burger, and fries. So now when you feel stressed, you go breathe, or you go read, or you go exercise, or you go do something really fun or outrageous or playful, or you handle the situation right then and there aggressively, and you feel the sense of self-esteem that comes from conquering the problem. That's different than going unconscious by sticking some food in your mouth. Does that make sense? So what we've got to do is break those patterns. So this tape is designed to give you those organizing principles. Then each day, we're just going to do a couple exercises together that are fun, that are easy, that'll interrupt the pattern, that'll give you that ability to stop what's going on. Now, remember what I mean by interrupting the pattern. There are lots of ways of doing it, and they can be fun. Remember some of the examples we talked about the first few days we were together, right? The example we gave you of jumping up in a restaurant, pointing at your own chair, and going big when you find yourself overeating, for example. Anything that breaks you out of the state where you feel like you have the sense of urgency that you got to eat right now is a pattern interrupt. And so we're going to work on several of those. Let me tell you the first pattern interrupt I want you to start using in yourself, even as you're listening to me right now. I want you to stop that pattern of noticing how things aren't working out the way you want them to work out. Because I know darn well you got it in you, or you wouldn't be listening to this tape. See, most of us keep focusing on how things aren't working out, how hard they are. I want you to interrupt that pattern. I want you to start noticing even the most minute progress. And let me tell you what progress is invaluable. Awareness. If all you do is become more aware of when you eat, of how you eat, this little notebook you've been keeping, it may have felt like a pain. You may have stopped using it. If you stop using, you get that thing back out and use it today. Write down every single thing you eat, because I got news for you. The more you become aware of a pattern, that itself starts to break the pattern up. Once you're aware of it, it's hard to run it because it's not unconscious anymore. All of a sudden, you're starting to be in control. You're starting to realize what's going on. We're only out of control when we don't know what's going on. When we know what's going on, we have now got the first step to changing virtually anything. So I want to encourage you right now to start noticing any progress at all, including awareness progress. And again, how are you going to define the fact that you're making progress in this program? Are you going to pull out your scale and weigh yourself each day? If you do that, you're setting yourself up for failure. You know darn well, we're not looking just to lose weight. You're learning to lose fat. And besides that, initially, your body's going to be making major changes in its metabolism. It'll be taking some of the nerve energy that you're not wasting anymore on digesting food, for example, and making that available to vital organs to become more healthy. So how are you going to know if you're progressing? Well, one way to do that is to make sure you notice any small behavior change alone. You know that if you keep doing the right things, you're going to get the right results, don't you? So trust yourself. You also know if you violate these rules over and over again, you're not going to make any improvement. So notice even the smallest change in behavior. Notice yourself catching yourself making change. Notice and acknowledge yourself every time you do the breathing or you eat something that's got more water content in it instead of something that's almost devoid of water. Notice when you're in a position when you're properly combining your foods. Catch yourself doing things right. That's a pattern up in its own, and it'll create a new pattern. It'll start reinforcing you. It'll help you create a new trunk line, a trunk line to pleasure by doing the right things instead of a trunk line to mixed emotions by doing the wrong things. Now, I also would ask you to do this. Each day, besides keeping your awareness journal of what you're eating and when you're eating and how you're eating it, start again to say, how else can I measure my progress? What are the other great things I can reinforce myself with? The measurements we ask you to do, make sure you do those on a regular basis. So you're taking a look at your hips and your chest and your waist and your thighs and seeing a difference there. You may not lose any weight initially. You may be at the same weight. Who knows? You may be at a certain time of month or you're weighing at different times of the day and it may vary. You may have more water. But if your hips get smaller, if your waist gets smaller, if you start to shape up the way you want to shape up, you're going to have the body you deserve. So make sure you notice that as well. Also, just get a sense of not only how you're going to look, but how you're going to feel with the body you deserve. Start noticing little changes in how you feel. That's a new pattern to notice that. Notice yourself feeling good. Notice a little extra energy. These reinforcers will keep you going. And lastly, I want to encourage you to immediately schedule an opportunity to go get your body fat measured so you can know that this has worked for you in a very measurable way. One of the best ways is called hydrostatic weighing. It's where they actually put you under the water and weigh you, and they measure the difference between how much of you is fat and how much of you is muscle. It's very accurate. You can do this at most university medical centers. If you call your local college, ask for the medical department, ask them or the physical department, ask them where this can be done. Or you can often do this at your YMCA or at your health club. The other way it's done is electronically now, and there's one done with calipers. They all vary in their accuracy. But all that matters is you need to know where you're starting so you can be able to measure progress. So if you go back to that organization later on, you'll be able to measure, hey, how much of my body fat have I reduced? Because that's my real goal. But you're not going to just wait for that alone. You're going to have your body fat measurement. You're going to notice how you feel differently. You're going to notice the difference in your behaviors. You're going to notice a difference in how you look. You're going to notice the difference in the measurements that we describe. Those are more important than some scale. The scale can be very frustrating. And very often, why have you not followed through in the past? Because you made progress for a while and it didn't seem like you were making progress because the scale seemed the same. And so you thought, it's not worth it. I'm not being reinforced. Don't fall into that trap. Now, let's talk about measurements. We might want to start measuring our behavior. That is, remember I said awareness is progress? Let's, in this tape, figure out exactly what triggers you to do this thing called overeating or to eat these foods you know don't belong in your system. See, now you know what to do, but what's keeping you from doing it? What specific pattern? What I want to talk to you about is what we call a behavior chain. What a behavior chain is a sequence of events that surround or influence your behavior. In other words, just before you eat, what makes you all of a sudden think about food or feel like you're hungry or feel like you got to have that food right now? What are those triggers? What is the chain of events that creates this? Because if we can identify this, we can interrupt the pattern. But if we're not aware of it, these habits will control us. Now think about this also just as an organizing principle. You only eat because you have an urge to eat. I mean, that's really it. Unless somebody's there forcing it down you, or you got a grandma there, you don't want to disappoint. And they're saying, hey, did you eat everything on your plate? Oh, yes, grandma, yes. You don't want to disappoint somebody. Then you're just doing it to avoid pain. But most of us eat because we have an urge to eat. Here's the key question. Is it an urge that's based on physical need, or is it what we would call a counterfeit urge? Something that is being artificially created by some trigger in the environment or some trigger in your mental focus or your consciousness. In other words, every single one of us goes through a pattern to eat. All I'm saying to you is, what's your pattern? Because if you can successfully identify and manage your pattern, and in order to have the body you deserve, you must master your patterns of creating urges. And I'm here to tell you something. Most of the urges you experience to eat, especially the ones to overeat, you're creating. And you know what? You're doing it unconsciously. And right now, we're going to begin to consciously take control of this. So what are the triggers to making you eat initially? That first step to getting yourself to overeat is you got to be triggered, right? There are three primary triggers. One is just external cues, you know, like seeing certain food or smelling the food or somebody singing some song like, aren't you hungry? Aren't you hungry? Aren't you hungry, Burger King? You know, those kinds of cues that make you all of a sudden start to be triggered in this way. Somebody offering you food is a trigger. You know, driving by certain kinds of restaurants is a trigger for some people. Some people waking up is a trigger. Sometimes it's the time of a day is a trigger for you. We all have different triggers. Some people, you're around them and you feel like you got to eat anything but have to talk to them. I don't know what it is for you, but seriously, we all have different triggers. What are the triggers for you externally? But then you know what? Sometimes it's not the outside world. Sometimes it's our inside world that makes us want to eat. And those triggers we call mental focus. When you're being triggered by your own mind, when all of a sudden you start asking yourself lousy questions like, when will I ever eat again? My gosh, if I don't eat plenty now, you know, pretty soon it's going to be winter and I'm going to be out here without any food and I better have some food now so I can hibernate tonight. You know, we all have different things we do inside of our heads where we enhance either our desire for food or our sense of necessity for food. And the third thing, the third kind of trigger for us that makes us want to eat is the actual physical cue. Now, that physical cue can come out of conditioning or can come because our body really needs food. Now, which of these three examples of triggers, external cues, mental focus, or physical cues, do you think is driving most of your eating? I think if you're honest with yourself, you'd have to say external cues and mental focus is playing a bigger role than your physical cues. Otherwise, you wouldn't be overeating. If you just listen to the natural cues of your body, but you know what? You've been seduced. You've gotten to the point where you've begun to buy into counterfeit cues. So let's start by understanding, how do we get ourselves to eat? I'm sure you've noticed that there are times when you're in certain situations where you have no urge to eat whatsoever. And there are other situations where you got to eat immediately. So what is the first step? You got to get triggered. That's the first step. So again, either you're triggered by something in that environment you see, hear, taste, touch, or smell, something that stimulates you, or you do the triggering by something inside your head mentally, or you have some physical cue. But as soon as you get that cue, that trigger causes you to go to link number two in the behavior chain. And link number two is you go into an emotional state we call urge. We have an urge to have food. This is where you've really got to manage things. You may not be able to eliminate all the cues in life, all those external cues that might be able to fire off at any moment in time. But you can always change yourself from a state of having to have food to a state of not needing it all. Haven't you had times when you had this tremendous urge for food? I mean, you got to have it right now. And something happened that interrupted the pattern in that moment. Something got your attention. Somebody said something. Something had to be responded to. Maybe the phone rang. You went and you had to answer the phone. And then you got caught up in the phone call. And as a result, you weren't hungry while you were on the phone talking to this person, especially if it was an important subject. You broke your pattern, didn't you? You broke out of the behavior chain that was controlling you. If you'd not had the interruption, what would have happened? Your urge would have led you into link number three. You would have stayed in the chain. You would have gone to that third step, which is your urge would have caused you to take action. You would have behaved. You would have gone after that food. That's the third step. Urges lead to behavior. The emotional state of tremendous desire leads to action, consumption. So you know what? We have got to be able to change this, and we've got to be able to interrupt it. And it's so easy to do. And you know what? The more you do it, the better you get. And over the next 4 days, let me tell you some good news. We're going to give you at least 20 what we call urge crunchers. These little devices you can do that are funny, some of them. Some are pretty outrageous, that will immediately take the urge right out of your body. And you know what? We're going to demonstrate that you can either create the urge for food or you can eliminate it in a matter of moments in a second. But let me finish this behavior chain for you. What does behavior lead to as the third step? Well, of course, it leads to the consequences in the fourth stage. Now that you've done this behavior, now that you've eaten this food, you know it's not good for you, or an amount that you know is not good for you, you got to pay the price. So why, if we create negative consequences in our life, why do we keep running the same behavior chain? Because sometimes the consequences that are negative don't show up till later, but we immediately get pleasure. See, remember we talked about in the very beginning of this tape, anytime you experience significant pain or pleasure, your brain looks for what's the cause, links it up, and if it's painful, it tries to avoid it in the future, and if it's pleasurable, it wants to do it again. The problem is, you get pain, but you get it later on. You get pain, but it's intellectual. You go, oh yeah, I gained a few pounds. But you didn't teach your brain the moment you're reaching for that chocolate cake, this equals stuff on your body that doesn't look or feel good. You didn't do it in that moment. And that's when the brain is learning. That's why we intellectually know one thing, but our body does another, because we have these neural connections. Are you following me? So in the moment we do things, we've got to interrupt those patterns. And so we're going to give you a bunch of ways to do it. The key to it, though, is really learning how to manage your triggers, and most importantly, how to change those states when you start to get in a state where you feel like you got to have some food. So let's take a look at those triggers. For you, what are some specific external cues that cause you to eat? Think. You've been keeping a journal these last few days, right? What were some of the things that made you eat when you went out there and ate? What were the triggers? Was it somebody inviting you to a meal? Was it every time you go to a business meeting, you feel like you have to eat because after all, there you are at this business meeting? Couldn't you sit there and just have something very simple or nothing at all and conduct business, still be in rapport? Was it hearing the song on the radio, "Aren't You Hungry"? Was it watching television? I'll tell you one thing, the average American, a study just showed, average American gets more than 350 invitations to eat a day just walking through normal daily life, because advertisers have a big investment in making sure you eat, because that's how they make money. What was the average size Coke years ago? It was 8 ounces. Now you go into 7-Eleven, they got this thing called a Big Gulp, 44 ounces poured down your system. How about potato chips? They keep getting bigger. The package keeps bigger, and they keep telling you, you can't only eat one. Yeah, not only can you not only eat one, you can't only eat a few. You got to eat yourself like a 16-ounce bag of these mothers. Give me a break. You know what? We've got people every day trying to condition us to eat their food so they can make money off this. Listen, I don't have any problem with them making money by feeding people good food, but you've got to be in control of your life. You can't be on automatic pilot because somebody else has got a business to run. They can't run it through your body. You got to be in charge. So you got to start noticing, what are those triggers? What are they for you? part of the exercises that Dr. Nate's going to work with you on is discovering precisely what the cues are. But I'll tell you what I want to do right now. Before we do anything else, we'll probably do this later on too. Stop this tape right now. And I want you to sit down and think over the last 3 days. And you've been conscious the last 3 days. Well, I hope you've been conscious. Maybe you've been in a trance listening to this, but I hope you've been conscious. And that is, I want you to write down, think about different meals, think of little snacks especially you had, and if you've ever violated anything you know you're not supposed to do, and I know you wouldn't do a thing like that, but if you did, what I want you to do is write down what was the trigger. What was going on inside you that triggered that? And by the way, remember, it may not have been an external trigger. It may have been a mental focus trigger. I can give you an example for myself. I came here to do this taping today, and yesterday I was doing a seminar on the East Coast. I left at 6 in the morning, flew out here. I had meetings all day. I finished last night at 2 in the morning, and guess what? I got a little bite in between, but I was busy talking. I didn't even taste the food. I got up this morning, rushed on over here, and sure enough, guess what happened? I was sitting down looking at what I was going to do, trying to lay out the outline, and I found myself asking questions like, oh my gosh, am I ever going to eat again? What's the deal here? You know, if I go in here and we're in studio all day long, you know, I don't think, and then I got a meeting as soon as this is done tonight, and before I know it, I won't eat another meal. Oh my gosh, I'm ready to get a meal. And I found my mental focus going off onto various foods right before I'm going to come do this program for you. This is how our brains work. Now, there's nothing wrong with your brain doing this, and sometimes it's intelligent. But make sure that all of a sudden you don't start picturing the food in such detail you find yourself salivating all over your job. I mean, come on. You got to make sure you can break that pattern. What are you doing in your head? What are you picturing? What are you saying to yourself? What questions are you asking yourself when you feel like you got to eat? What words are you using? I'm starving? That may not be the best word to use. Maybe, you know, I'm a bit hungry. You know, notice what it is. Or notice, is it a natural physical cue? So stop the tape right now. And real simply, I want you to think of three examples where you ate in the last 3 days. A snack or a meal, especially if you violated things you know you weren't supposed to do, and write down what was the initial cue that made it happen. Was it something in the environment? Was it something you just focused on in your head, a question or a picture or something you did inside your brain? Or was it just physical, true hunger? Stop the tape and write this down right now. Go for it. Okay, welcome back. So what'd you learn? I hope you learned what some of those triggers are, because if you do, again, the more aware you become, you'll start saying, uh-oh, I'm not really hungry right now. What I'm really doing is responding to stimulus response like some dog that's been trained by Ivan Pavlov. Right? I mean, think about it. We talked about this guy. What'd he do? He waited till he had saliva, rang the bell. Pretty soon, all he's got to do is ring the bell. He didn't have to give you anything. That's what most of us are doing when we're eating. You want to start noticing this so you can disconnect the bell. And by the way, if you're saying, oh, no, I'm not wired this way, I'm not an automatic pilot, okay, great. Imagine you're going in to see a movie, a big blockbuster movie. And as you walk in, what happens? All these wonderful cues are all around you, aren't they? Sure enough, some external cues. Number one, just the fact that you're going to the movie, what do you got to have when you're sitting down in that chair? We all know what you got to have, right? A big bowl of steamed vegetables. That's what you got to have right then, right? No, I don't think so. What most of us got to have is a big, fat tub of popcorn, right? Something you could probably float in down a river. It's so darn big. And we're going to put at least a few quarts of that fake butter on top of it, and then we're going to wonder why we, when our Pepsi mixes in with that stuff and a few pieces of licorice and a chocolate bar big enough to, like, choke yourself on, and then we know we can finally enjoy our movie. Now, I know you would never do this, but have you ever seen anybody else do this kind of stuff? I mean, it's ridiculous. And you know what? The smell of the popcorn is there. The little signs are all around you with little guys smiling, little popcorn guys saying, have you got your popcorn yet? They used to have those ads on where they turn on the movies. Some movie theaters, they still got it. The popcorn goes dancing across with a Coke and saying, hey, make sure you visit our snack bar so you can get a 2-kilo bag of gummy bears. I mean, you can't let these people manipulate you like this, and you got to be in charge. Now, you know what's interesting? I found myself, I didn't eat popcorn for years, and popcorn isn't bad. I'm not saying you can't have it. But if you have to have it, now you're out of control. Does that make sense? I want to stop and make you think about that. If you have to have the food, you're out of control. And now you better break your pattern. And for no other reason, so you're in charge again. So you're not unconscious. Because that's how you get out of control. You get momentum going the wrong direction. It's like, you know, you learn to ride a horse. If you just get on, jump on that horse and let him run like crazy, and then you all finally try to stop him after he's been running for 30 minutes, you're going to have a problem. You may not want to stop real quick. He's so excited and furious in the momentum of the moment. And that's how we are emotionally. Once we get going, our motor's running, man. We're ready to have everything. We stop. Yeah, let's have this. Let's have that. Yeah, let's stop at Taco Bell. Now let's stock up Pizza Hut. Wow, I'm already on a roll. Might as well have myself a burger on the way home. Just think of that. We've seen it happen. I don't know if you've ever binged like that, but most people overweight certainly have. So you got to break out of those cues. You got to know you're in control and that you have the ability to do it, that you can walk by that little sign, you can walk by the smells and still be doing okay. Now, how do you do that? One of the primary ways to do that is to realize the second trigger is one you can always control. You can't always control the outside world, but you can control your mental focus. And there is the secret. Because, see, when you smell that popcorn, what do you do inside your head? What do you say to yourself? What do you picture? What do you feel? That's when you either go into the state of urge or you go in the state of you wanting to purge that food if you were to actually consume it. Because some of that food you want to get train your body so it disgusts you, at least the size and amount of it. I'll give you a good example. I used to absolutely go crazy. When I was overweight, I would eat donuts like they were going out of style. And the reason is because I shopped at this market. It was called Boys Market in Marina Del Rey. And you walked in this place, and they had a donut shop right inside the grocery store. So all those smells would be in there. I'd go in there surrounding myself. No, I'm not going to have a donut. I'm not going to have a donut. I'm not going to think of the color blue. I'm not going to think of the color blue. I'm not going to think of the color blue. And I walk in there, and bam, that smell would hit me, and whoom, the aroma. I'd picture in my mind biting into one of those big, giant twist cinnamon donuts, you know, one of those big jelly things you bite, and it squirts all over the place. And I thought that was so wonderful. But you know what? I started noticing I had some pretty lousy acne. And I began to make a little association that maybe all that mass amount of fat and sugar and oil that I was jamming into my system every time I went to go buy myself some fresh fruit at the same store, maybe that had something to do with the fact that I had something that looked like cream puffs coming out of my skin. I mean, that was pretty terrible. And once I made that linkage, I could change it. So I learned to walk into place and smell that. And as I smelled it, I imagined all the fat dripping down the back of my throat. I imagine all of a sudden feeling a little sick to my stomach. I imagine thinking of what the fat looked like that they were boiling that stuff in. I imagine seeing my face breaking out. Now, I know it sounds pretty graphic and gross, but you know what? That broke my pattern, something fierce, to the point that when I did it enough times, just walking in there, I would just think to myself, oh, it's disgusting. And the picture would go away. I'd stop focusing on it. The cue had no power over me, and I'd go get something I was really excited about. This is the very same thing you got to do with yourself. In other words, you got to take these cues on head on. You got to do it by changing your focus and changing what these cues mean to you. Now, the other option, of course, is just to avoid them. In fact, what I tell most people is that once you discover what your behavioral chain is, what are the sequence of events, what are the external cues or the focus tools or the physiology that's triggering you to overeat, once you know what it is, then you got three basic choices. Avoid the cues. Don't go to that grocery store anymore. You can go to one where they don't have a donut shop, right? Don't go to the movies anymore. You know, I don't know if that's a thing that you really want to do. Or like, you know, wear a gas mask when you go right by, you know, the popcorn thing. I don't know. But it's pretty hard to avoid some, but others can. You don't have to go there and sit around and watch people eating foods that you normally feel addicted to. You don't have to put yourself in an environment continuously. So avoiding is one approach. The second approach is to scramble the feelings you have towards those cues. Scrambling is what I basically did by constantly thinking about the donuts, but then seeing myself breaking out. Or, for example, when I lived in Venice, I would literally have to drive by a half dozen fast food places just to get to my house. Well, sure enough, I rarely made it to my house on the first trip. I usually had to stop a few places. So what I learned to do is I said, I've got to scramble the feelings these have, because seeing these places makes me feel like I got to eat, even though maybe I wasn't hungry a moment before. Maybe I was on the phone talking to somebody in my car, or maybe I was thinking about something else. Maybe I had some music going. But seeing them was like, oh, yeah, I better eat. I wasn't hungry before. Haven't you experienced that? It was like, oh, yeah, I better do it. There it is. I need to make it happen now. So what I decided was that I was going to go in those places, and I was going to look at the menu, and I was going to create a new pattern. And that's what I did. I walked in, looked up, saw the chicken burger that I thought was so good because I thought that was getting close to being a vegetarian back in those days. And I looked at that thing, and I looked in and watched them. I said, you mind if I watch this? And I looked over and watched them start to fry that stuff. And I imagined taking that oil and taking a big cup of it and drinking it with the food. And I started thinking about how sick I would feel inside. And I went back through my acne thing again. Then I imagined what my stomach looked like at the time when I was 38 pounds heavier at that time. I could see it sticking out because I had that image in my mind. So I looked at the food and saw and linked it to that fat. Looked at the food and linked it to my stomach being out there. Looked at the food and linked it to being tired. I stood there in line. I said, you want something? I said, no, what I really want to do is just look at, see how you prepare this. I'm just thinking. People looking at me, staring in line. I'm making these weird looks on my face, I guess, because some people looked at me like I was crazy. They must have known I was doing something different. And then I would get up and leave. And as I left, I'd take a breath of fresh air outside. And I said, now what I want to do instead of that, what I want to do is give my body what I really want. And I'd go to this great place where I had all these fruits and vegetables that was outside. And I would go out there and I'd buy a big piece of watermelon. And usually in the morning, it'd be a sunny day, and I'd go out and I would sit out on the beach, this big piece of watermelon, and eat this thing, smell the air, and feel incredible. And then I'd walk, and I'd feel really good in my body. And I did this enough times till pretty soon on the way home, guess what I felt the urge to do? I felt the urge to have a piece of watermelon. I felt the urge to just drive by those places. I'd look at those places and say to myself, oh, man, that's disgusting. All I did was get some awareness as to what was controlling me and make a decision to change it and scramble the feelings I associated to it by thinking about the consequences, by thinking of gross things, by interrupting the pattern consistently when I thought of the old behavior and then creating a new pattern I gave myself pleasure for. Now, that's pretty basic. It's pretty simple. But if you don't do it this way and you try and do it just through willpower, you'll never succeed. You'll always be in a battle. You'll always be fighting. You've got to condition yourself. You've got to take that neuroassociation in your brain and stop it.